This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it. Whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie, December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook.
Welcome to Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. And who else is with us today, James?
We got the one and only Forrest Griffin. Welcome to the show, brother.
Hey, guys. What's happening? Thank you for having me.
Look, I just want to get ahead of this.
So let's talk about catching up, Forrest. You know, you are the vice president, I believe, of performance at, of course, the amazing, whatever that sport's called. Some people know it.
I do.
UFC. It's a small little entity, UFC.
It's, you know, it's one of these days it's gonna break through. You just
it will.
It's gonna work for you.
It's so cool because you, from being, you know, one of the innovators and creators of the UFC, have this humility about you that is so attractive to everybody that meets you. And it doesn't change. As big as the UFC gets, as big as your job gets, and as much as people respect, admire, and love you, you still remain the same. What is it about you that
it's funny you say that. It's because I realized it was all luck. It was a lot of being at the right place at the right time. And other people look and say, hey, Forrest, man, you have been really lucky. And I have. But in my career and in my life, I've had amazing good luck. And I've had a lot of bad luck, too. It's funny. Luck, as it comes, is not all one size fits all. It's not all good. So, yeah, I've had all the luck. I've been in the right place at the right time. And I've been at the right place at the wrong time a couple times, too. But, yeah.
Well, it's such a humble way to look at the career you've had. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. He's a very successful guitarist, one of the biggest country acts. And he's now just starting to realize, like, man, I want to take my life more seriously. He's actually been sober for the last 40 days. He's making a really radical change. We're proud of him. But we were speaking about the subject of luck. And I think that all of us have to acknowledge, of course, luck has played a large part in us being in the right rooms at the right time, in front of the right people at the right time. However, through the conversation, I made the argument that, you know, the more disciplined that I am, the more I find myself getting lucky. So do you think that there is some correlation?
There is called the lucky brand gi. It was a gi, you know, that you wear for jujitsu. And it said on the back, well, it said, get off my back. But then it said, the harder I work, the luckier I get, right? Luck is when opportunity meets preparation and hard work or something like that. I don't know. But yeah,
preparation meets opportunity. I love that.
Yeah. But, you know, the other piece to luck is taking your shot, taking the right risk at the right time. You know, there's a lot of people who are prepared. A lot of people have done the work. Maybe they don't get the opportunity. But worse still is when people have done the work and they don't take the opportunity. So
which I think is really interesting because I talk about elevating our awareness to what we're given. I'm going to use another lucky friend of mine, Mike Tannenbaum, who probably will come on the show. He was the youngest general manager in the NFL, GM of the Jets, and good friend from law school. And he said, I'm just so lucky. And I said, Mike, you worked with $100,000 loans from going to law school for $600 a month as a paid intern, basically a paid legal intern for the Saints, a really shit team at the time. And you made an investment in yourself and you took a big risk where I was too afraid to do that. And so I just went with the highest paying job I could get out of law school because I had $100,000 of loans. Mm-hmm. And I felt that I was lucky because I was able to pay off my loans. And he felt he was lucky because he took $600 job. There is this idea that if we put in the hard work and we prepare, we have to be aware of what we're given. We have to see some of the bad luck as an opportunity to move us to a protected, a better place. And a lot of people aren't aware of all they're given, meaning I'm given this bad luck. I'm given this pain to indicate I got a better place to be. And some people stay in the bad luck. They don't see it as an indicator. Was there a moment that you can remember where bad luck was really an indicator, which turned into actually good luck because you have that grateful awareness of being given an opportunity?
Well, yeah, it's funny. So I got a horrible staph infection. I was on antibiotics for 5 weeks. I had to get like my legs scoped out. It's crazy. I'll share the picture.
So you didn't wear a condom when you were younger? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I was younger. You don't know what you don't know.
Wow. So yeah. Starting off strong here, David. Way to go.
It's been a long day.
Yeah. David's like your grandpa. He can get away with it, though. You know, yeah, it's just Dave.
Exactly.
But so I ended up losing a fight that I really wanted, and by virtue of not fighting that fight and having to wait 6 months, I actually got the opportunity to fight Shogun, and that was beating Shogun was the opportunity that got me to get to the fight for the championship. So. Kind of missed something. And at the time, I was really irritated and I was upset. I couldn't train for 5 weeks. I was super sick. And, it ended up being like, hey, everybody else kind of got tied up, but I was free. And they were like, well, shoot, we got Shogun. We got Forrest not doing anything. He didn't have a fight. We'll match him up. So, yeah.
Mostly,
I think about it, it's been bad luck. Mostly bad luck.
But if you look at that bad luck as a learning opportunity, I think that's kind of the moral of the story here. That is when you learn, because we don't learn when we win, at least not nearly as much as when we lose. When you win, you went, man, I got it right, so I must know what I'm doing. When you lose, pardon me, at least I go back to the tape, whether it's literally in a sport like yours or me on stage or my life with investments, and go, where did I fuck up? And really, from those moments, I've found more growth. Similar one, I spoke to Dave about this. Been bitching about it today for the last 2 years. In terms of some of the entrepreneurial side of my life, I've invested into real estate quite a bit. And I had a property in Miami that I bought to live in. That's when I was living there. And I thought, this is going to be my home. We want to go big. We want to do this big renovation. And it has taken almost 2 years just to get permits. But had it not, we might have been living in there and I wouldn't be here in Nashville. I have found so much solace and comfort. And I really feel like I found home here. So in a very literal sense, that bad luck of it taking monumentally longer than it was supposed to, it offered me an opportunity that I wasn't even thinking about at that moment. So it was kind of through the suck and the frustration that other doors opened.
That's a really good point. And, one day when I lose, I guess I'll try to take that as a learning opportunity. Hadn't happened yet, but one day I'm sure I'll need to do that. No, that's, Miami, what a dump. That's, sounds all right, though. I don't know.
Like the Vegas of Florida, bro. So,
Vegas of Florida.
You know what? What a dump, right? Like Vegas, but you also get one of the most gorgeous fucking beaches in the world. So it's like where you live, just even better.
What you don't realize is Vegas is all beach. It's all beach.
There's one big sandy, dry, deserty beach. Yes, hey, I lived in Summerlin for 2 years. All right, I can beach talk a little bit everywhere. Of shit. I got love for it. I do, but I don't live there anymore.
When Dave in California fall into the ocean, Yeah. We will be the coastline. The ocean will come to me eventually.
And then Dave's going to be moving in with Forrest Griffin and his family. So don't wish upon myself. I'll take your beach property. I have a question. As I got older and had good luck and bad luck and made mistakes and more mistakes, but never lacked commitment to make up for my mistakes or learn from them, I've learned not to take things so seriously. And one of the things I really admire about you, because you not only help people with their performance, but you perform at a very high level. People behind your back, not in front of you like me, they say really nice things. More than most people behind your back. I love hearing how many compliments and how much people admire you and how much you help them and, you know, have impacted their lives. But with all that serious impact and work that you do, you maintain, and I try to like you, like just this great demeanor of making everything fun, not taking it so seriously. And you're in a serious multi-billion-dollar business and you have a lot of responsibility. Is there an internal conflict between what I see outside of?
No. So here's the deal. You get the feelings you get. And you metabolize them however they want. You know, it's the stupidest thing, but worry never solved anything. You know, if you worry, which I do, start working. If you want worry to go away, just start working towards that project and lose yourself in the project. You'll stop worrying about it. You know, if you're worried, it's because you didn't do something you maybe should have done. The other thing is it just doesn't matter. That's one of my favorite movies. If you've ever seen Meatballs.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Just doesn't matter.
But it's the best. It's my favorite. That's that. You know, that it's like really, how much of this really matters at the end of the day? You know, I was just listening to a podcast because I don't read books, but I do listen to podcasts with smart people. And you're just talking about, you know, like 100 people on their deathbed. What were, you know, was it the notes they missed on that meeting? Was it their family? The other thing too is like I have a pretty minimal lifestyle, and I don't need that much more money. So I don't need, and this sounds however it sounds, but I don't need people that much. Like I don't need to go hustle for $5,000 to do that speaking engagement. I just don't need to, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that I would try to tell, you know, people that come through that care to kind of engage a little bit is, you know, the higher your lifestyle, the more pressure you're putting on yourself. And that's fine. If that's what you want, good, do it. But for me, it's not a financial pressure. I feel pressure because the team, my business unit, the Performance Institute, everybody works so damn hard. And I want to keep up because you're competitive in nature, right? So we're all competitive. So when you're around people that are constantly pushing the envelope, you're like, I got to get in there. I got to start moving. I got to work towards these goals. Oh, yeah, you guys are going to work 50 hours a week? I'm going to work 55 hours a week. Fine, you know?
Yeah, I love that competition. Hey, James, how at your age and your success is this either resonating with you in the respect that, man, I'm already living that way, or how much of it is like, fuck, I am not like these two old middle-aged mutant turtles. I'm still stuck in, you know, the buying shit I don't need to impress people I don't like stage of my life.
First of all, Forrest, can you see him trying to drag you into his age bracket right now? I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not even to me.
Hey, look, I'm closer to him than you, unfortunately, for me.
that's why David wanted to do this one remotely. He was afraid to do it in person because he's going to talk some shit like that. And I would, if I were him, be afraid too.
He also didn't want to have to see how handsome you are in person. He's afraid himself now.
I'll take that. Yeah, we're going to do a filter on David before we post this. Don't you worry.
Yeah, thank you.
No, look, that's a great question. I've experienced both in my life where I'd made a lot of money and then bought a lot of things and a car that, you know, I wanted, but maybe didn't need. And then experienced, man, a couple of years not making the same income. Shit, maybe this is above where I should be. And I've learned my lesson to live beneath my means. However, then like this year, I've gone, well, I've got enough money to make another investment and maybe I can, you know, cash out refi here and leverage that and make another investment. And this is a year I've done 3 properties plus some tech investments, plus a lot of entrepreneurial stuff that while all of it has been for the purpose of making future money, for the purpose of investments, it is still a stress. So I'm not spending money for the most part on lifestyle. because I don't really give a shit to impress people anymore. You know, I drive the cars that I want to drive. And for me, that's a big pickup truck out front. You know, that's what I love. And it's my 72 Bronco. Those are my cars. They're not Lamborghinis because I just can't. I don't want to waste money on stuff like that right now. But I do spend money, and sometimes maybe more than I planned on and more than I should, by leveraging, because I'm seeking, you know, future wealth that I didn't grow up with. So I do my best to make calculated risks, but it's well within my means to be doing it. But I also know, you know, I'm 34 years old. I want to be making these risks now and for the next 10 years, 15 years, maybe, but never am I betting the entire farm on any single investment. It's always diversified. And I don't want to be living under this level of stress later when I have kids. So it's a mixed bag for me.
Yeah. As a unregistered, uncertified financial advisor, that is the right course for you. You know, you're in the middle of it, right? Like, you know, I'm pushing 50. David, well, we don't want to talk about that, but, you know, you're still in that stage where you can afford to be aggressive. If you lost it all tomorrow, you could work and get out, you know? Do you have kids?
I don't have kids yet. It's me and my girlfriend.
You're completely free. Completely free. Doesn't matter.
That's exactly right. I mean, I certainly have responsibilities. I do take care of a lot of people in my family, but I think about that all the time. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I wouldn't make this move if I had a few more mouths to feed, but I can make this move because I got time to continue to earn.
And time to recover from your mistakes.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's one of the best pieces of advice. I know David has told me this. I've heard this a few times, and it's one of the few things that has stuck, which is, you know, when asked what's your biggest asset, if I were asked that, I don't know, 5 years ago, I might have gone, well, let me calculate this, that. My biggest asset and your guys' biggest asset is still our ability to make money. That will go away eventually. Right now, I have that in spades. And so I focus on that quite a bit. And that's part of my decision making with, you know, investments and taking risks.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it, whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie. December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/playbook. As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
The other thing I'll say is where I'm at, I'm in my work peak. I'm in the time, I have a 13-year-old daughter and a wife. I'm in the time where they want me the most. I'm in the time where my parents are getting up there. They want to spend time with me the most. And it's just unfortunate. In your late 30s to like early 50s, that's when everybody wants you. That's when your work, okay, you're desirable. Your family, yeah. They need you. Your parents, they need you. So, and then, you know, as you get older, people need you less. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of a thing, you know, as you go through, you have to balance your burdens and decide.
How do you prioritize? You know, that word balance is thrown around a lot, but how do you find that?
How do I prioritize?
Prioritize and find whatever version of balance you
know. I re-ask the question to delay in time that I would hope that I would come up with an answer.
Good tactic, by the way.
I do that all the time.
In that additional 3 seconds, I did not come up with it. All right. Well, David, next time we're in the office, I'm going to do it for you. So I do this with people. I did it with a football team. I say, hey, what are your goals? What do you want? What do you want? Time, money, this, that. What are your goals? And then, you know, all right, how can you achieve these goals? And first, these guys they're actually professional football players, right? And the biggest thing is, look, you can buy freedom with money. You can buy your time back with money. You know, if you can make, like, I don't clean my yard. I haven't done my yard in like 6 years. I don't even know what happens. Like, when my sprinklers break, they just magically fix themselves. Why? Because a guy does that, you know? Mm-hmm. We have somebody come clean the house once a month. I don't really like to dust. I don't know how to do that. That's not a thing I'm going to do. Again, so, you know, what can I do with my time to buy more time, right? So how can I monetize my time, right? So I work my job and I have some investments and then I take that money and use it to get time back. So I also don't drive a nice car because I don't care and I don't fit in a Ferrari or whatever. Those are pretty uncomfortable for me actually. But, you know, then I start buying my time back. So obviously time is always your biggest asset and your biggest priority.
And one of the other things when you're
just made that up on the spot. That might not even be true.
It wasn't half bad for us. Yeah. It was actually pretty good. I bought most of it.
Yeah,
I bought all of it. I buy whatever the guy says. You know, I've been in some very successful ventures, and one of the things that happens is that I feel sometimes people get stuck with golden handcuffs. And the golden handcuffs are only the pay opportunity, but the prestige and access opportunity.
Identity.
And, you know, I know years and years ago when I was approaching 50, working with Lee Steinberg, it was a really difficult job because Lee, you know, had a disease that's called alcoholism, and I'm dealing with a lot of egos working for the most notable sports agency in the world as CEO. And it made it more difficult because people romanticize being on stage if you're Jay Maslow touring the world or working for the UFC or being the CEO of the most notable sports agency. But it's still activity you get paid for, which means there's a reason they pay you because there's a portion of it that sucks. So in this aspect of the UFC being so positive, having direct connection and access to some of the greatest fighters and Dana White, all the glamour and romanticized view of what you do. Do you ever feel stuck in that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, kind of you hit on it earlier that for me, it's my identity. I do, for whatever reason, my involvement with the UFC, a lot of my personal like respect for myself or whatever, or when I introduce myself, it is something I'm kind of proud of, you know, or, you know, I feel like I've done a good job or, you know, so definitely there's part of that. And, you know, that could be a good thing or a bad thing. And for me, it's 51%. 51% of the time I'm driving to work. Do I actually want to go to work? If it's 51%, I'm doing all right.
I like that.
I tell people all the time. I've never gotten to work, stopped in the parking lot, and left. So I'm doing okay.
I literally, one of the things I love about what I do, and I use this as a standard, is do you love going to work and do you love coming home? And if you can love both, it's really, you talked about this illusion of balance, James. I think that's one of the criteria for me. Am I prioritizing the right things in my life when I'm super excited to go to something, but even more or equally excited to come home? That's a pretty good indicator that you have some sort of semblance of a weighted balance in circumstances that exist. James, why don't you go ahead and close it out with a glorious question that will bring out the best in Forrest.
Glorious question. Oh, look, not even tooting any horns as I say this. We all are aware of the tremendous success you've had in the UFC. And you spoke about being so content in life right now. But what do you say really motivates you? What is it? Is it part of the business you're running right now? Is it mostly your family? What motivates you mostly these days?
It's a good question. You know, it's kind of, as we approach the new year, I think a lot of us are kind of recalibrating and saying, hey, where do I allocate my time? But yeah, I have a bit of a servant mindset and I kind of a servant leader thing. I took a course online once, like what kind of person? And I like the fact that I'm too far in to the sport of mixed martial arts to get out. So for me, how do I advance the sport? How do I advance the athlete population? How do I improve the outcomes for these athletes? And then again, David mentioned it earlier, these are things that I can feel like are important goals for me, you know? So my life philosophy in short, is kind of the Boy Scout motto. If you're familiar, either you guys ever Boy Scouts? You were? I didn't make it. I got kicked out of Weeblos, long story, but I wanted to be a Boy Scout. So my understanding was their motto, like when you go to a campsite, is to leave it a little better than you found it. Yep, and yep. I can say that with the sport of MMA, that I've left it a little better than I found it. And at some point I want to leave the UFC and I want to say, hey, I've left it a lot better than I found it.
Man, well, you've left this show a lot better than you found it, and you've left.
Well, that was easy to do.
That's awesome. Leave me with a jab. That hurt me too, though, Forrest. I just want you to know that.
No, I think that's funny as shit. Anyways, you are incredible. Anytime we can get some time with Forrest Griffin and get the wisdom that he has, it provides more faith in the humanity to me, because he's just a good person. And my favorite line is, be kind to your future self, do good deeds. And when I think of that, I think of a man I know that's doing good deeds, because he is a servant leader. Forrest Griffin, thanks for joining James Maslow and I, man. You're incredible.
Thank you, guys. Very kind.
Thank you so much. And happy holidays, guys.
Thank you. You too, boss.
Awesome. All right, James, we need a takeaway of the day as we let Forrest go. What do you got for me?
Oh, man, what a mensch. Well-spoken, humble, funny. I mean, I was a fan. I'm a bigger fan now. One thing he said that I think is important, I don't know if many people my generation or younger really think about this, but it's important to him how he's going to be remembered, how he's going to present himself. And, you know, we live in a culture where a lot of times shock value is what gets the next, you know, pop artist known. And sometimes it's even doing bad things that somehow, you know, whether it's being jokes on TikTok, not that that's bad, or dare I say, even, you know, some people have been made famous by going to rehab. And it's not that you can't capitalize on things that happen in your life, but I've noticed the trend of people going out of their way to do bad things for the hope of exposure. And I'm just not a fan of that. So I'm a huge fan of his and a huge fan of that message of, like, you know, try and be the best version of who you are. This will be remembered. Everything we record these days. And I hope to look back at myself in 15, 20 years and beyond, like Forrest is, and say, man, I'm proud of who I was and who I've become.
I love that. And I also just love someone that enjoys life so much that they don't take it so seriously. They understand what really matters, even though they're in what seems to be a highly competitive position with a lot of different responsibilities, being married, having kids.
running as an executive, one of the biggest sports organizations in the world, a multi-billion-dollar and growing. And I think the understatement and takeaway of the day is everybody should try to leave. And my mom used to tell me this, everyone, just everywhere you go, leave it a little better, which came to that be kind to your future self by leaving everything you can better. Forrest Griffin, the takeaway, and he represents that perfectly. Everywhere he goes, he elevates everyone around him and he leaves it a little better every time he's in the studio, every time he comes to a dinner, every time he is speaking. I've seen him at events. He's enormously valuable because he makes everything better. He's like the BASF of content. He makes everyone better. He made you and I better. James Maslow, you are amazing. We're getting the hang of this and our studio are coming together. I want everybody
listening to the podcasts, and I started a podcast so that I can learn from people like you and him. And I mean that sincerely. There's not even a joke involved in that. This is really something special.
It is. And it's only going to get better because Forrest Griffin's been here to make it better. And we are blessed to be here. Everybody, check out all the episodes of Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. I'm blessed to be a mentor and a mentee of my dear friend. Follow him. He is an amazing soul and wise beyond his years. My old soul buddy, James Maslow, here with me, Dave Meltzer, on Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. Thank you, brother. I'll see you soon.